terms of format of things we do is basically, I mean, I'm just here to serve, open to any sort of questions, and then often we sort of have an activation exercise, or we just look to engage somewhere in the realms of heaven. So no, I'll throw it open if anyone's got anything they want to share. I mean, those that went last time, I think you went to we went to the judgment seat. Did you get any feedback from that?
I think last time we did the steps and the firestones.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. That was very intense. It was every step we did was very intense. I really felt every fruit of the spirit as we were stepping each stone. It was really intense. I mean, I never experienced nothing like that. The only thing I was still working on it is like when you ask us to see our names in the thrones. For some reason, it was hard for me to see the name, but I saw the throne and I see it on the throne. But for some reason, I couldn't really see clear the name. So I've been asking God for that. I really want to see my name. But
good.
Very powerful, yeah.
Interesting. How about you, Pam? Did you?
It's been a crazy couple of weeks. You know, one thing that I really benefit from our last time was where you talked about lie busting and going into the court.
All right, yeah.
I told you a few people had asked me to take them into the court, and I got some guidance from you. Well, we did that, and after this one lie bust, we, you know, were led to go into the court, and, you know, I was there to sense and see, and, you know, we had to really demand for the accusers to come in because there was resistance.
Yeah.
And I was very shocked because there was a dragon.
Okay.
And I was, you know, it just shocked me. A dragon was dragged in and held down. And then the decree, a scribe actually walked this decree over to the dragon and forced it to read it. I didn't understand. It was like it was forced to read what was signed.
Yeah.
And that was like, whoa. And then we took that to the Court of Angels, and these huge, ancient-looking warrior angels were assigned. And I knew, I was sensing that they had been part of that battle for a while. And it was like they were just getting new orders. You know, they weren't like how we've had in the past, new angels like excited to join. Ooh, let me, pick me. These had been they were dressed in like ancient war garb, and they knew what was going on, and it was really strange. I couldn't wait to tell you about that, because you know, I need some understanding. And you know, remember a month ago, I told you about the encounter where I was coming back into the earth realm, and I saw that huge, that fierce warfare going on, and there were dragons. You know, I was just witnessing this, so you know, I made a connection to that. So it was just been a crazy couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, once you start operating judicially and you begin to engage in those courts, and you get mandates to set people free or to administer certain areas of the kingdom, then the levels of authority you begin to exercise increase. You know, and particularly when we start engaging with the angelic realm, you know, they have roles, you know, to play, and because we've not really engaged with them very much in the last, you know, period of time, they have operated a lot under God's command, but he's looking for sons to come and operate in sonship so that we get to be involved in some of those ancient battles and some of the wars that have gone on, seed wars and different things. He's looking for us to bring restoration and to enforce the mandates of the kingdom. You know, he's just waiting for sons to be manifested at that sort of level of authority. And it's great. I mean, you know, you suddenly start to see the authority and power there is. And even dragons and things like that have to submit to that authority. You know, most of the dragons and giant type beings operate through fear and intimidation so that they appear bigger than they are, and they try and, just like they did to the children of Israel in well, we can't go in there because the land is full of giants. They try and intimidate us spiritually to hinder us operating in authority and rule. So once you really know your identity and authority judicially, you know, they get cut down to size, really, and as you say, they can be forced to comply with court orders and judicial mandates. So sounds fun. Yeah, so excellent.
Yeah, it was interesting, but I did. I had another encounter with wisdom, and I got more revelation on the mountain spheres. And it was interesting because she actually hugged me, and she said, "Like Jesus, I'm always accessible." Yeah. And I was okay. That was cool. And then I had, when we encountered her before, I kept seeing Prudence was like, kept trying to get my attention, so that's even starting to outwork. I'm understanding what that's about. What, you know, this little witty project, you know, that some of us have started on. So it's really been an interesting couple of weeks.
Great, excellent.
Yeah.
I think sometimes God gives us insight into something, and we see something or have a vision of something which we don't fully understand, but what he's looking for is the desire to pursue it. And so sometimes not everything is clear, because he didn't design it to be clear. There are some cryptic things or things where we get clues into something that he's looking for our hearts and our willingness to pursue and to follow the desires that are there to find deeper revelation and meaning in things. You know, over the last few years, I think I've found deeper revelation and meaning in every single thing I ever believed. Just because I pursued it to a deeper level. And once I began to engage in the realms of heaven with those things, the level of it, of revelation just increased exponentially, really, and totally transformed some things in terms of how I do things has been totally transformed by learning how to engage heaven and get mandates to do things there. You know, so the more we pursue, you know, the deeper revelation we get. And I think, you know, this scripture about deep calling out to deep at the sound of his waterfalls, you know, there is this sound, this heavenly sound, that when we begin to engage it, just goes deeper into us. And sometimes we get downloads of information to our spirit that our soul is not yet caught up with. And as we go back into it and engage our soul in meditating around it, then we get more information actually released so that we can understand that which has been downloaded. You know, because if you get stuff in pro, you know, when we went to the Firestones last week's time and looked to engage with, you know, the DNA of that and how that engages with light and encodes things within us, the encoding has to be outworked, and so it takes time. Sometimes it takes quite a time to pursue that which has been imparted to us. We know we've had an experience, but we haven't caught up with the fullness of the revelation of that experience yet. And you do by just going back over it. You know, I journal everything. I then go back over my journals regularly, see if I need to go into something in a deeper way. You know, and then go, if I need to know something, I go and ask God about it. You know, go to him, you know, what were you trying to show me? What did this mean? You know, what was significant about this color, or what was significant about the way this appeared? You know, and revelation will flow out of that. But it is a pursuing that is the key. You know, it's like if we desire something, we will pursue it. If we don't pursue it, we didn't really desire it in the first place. It may have been wishful thinking, but we didn't really desire it, because pursuit is the evidence of desire. And that which we pursue indicates the priority that those things have in our lives. You know, so if we check up what we're pursuing in our lives, it'll indicate where our desires really are. And the more we draw near to God, the more His desires get written onto our hearts, and we find the desires of our hearts changing, and we get drawn towards those things which are within our destiny, rather than the things our soul might point us towards from memory and from the past. But yeah, it's good encounters, excellent. Okay, so has anyone got a question or anything?
Yeah, I do have a question. You know, I love this. You're right. I mean, experience with God, it really changed your life, and it's the best way to learn. Even like many times when I had experience, I don't understand, but when I do, I understand. It really changed your life. I mean, it really does change your life. So the question that I have is, sometimes when you have those experiences and God teach you new things, right? How you can manifest what you learn in heaven on earth? Because some things that God teach you in heaven, they're like really up there. So you just need to do those things in heaven with Him and automatically will manifest on earth? Or the only way to release is through the mountain? Moving as a king.
Yeah, no, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, there are things that you experience in the realms of heaven that have to be outworked there first. And so, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we get to establish the as it is. And so operating in our heavenly mountains, those, you know, our position and authority there within the kingdom of God, we release mandates and we release the authority that we've been given practically by what we say in terms of what we declare, what we call forth, what we call into being that doesn't necessarily exist yet, by assigning angels to what we've been shown there. So there is an administration of what we receive in heaven. It isn't just an encounter for a sake of an encounter generally. Sometimes you do have intimacy, particularly on the pathway of relationship. You know, relationship is the key. So encountering the tree of life or throne of grace or garden of God or the river of life, they're very much more about identity and intimacy and relationship. And that's wonderful. But we can't just stay with relationship without realizing there's responsibility for sonship. And so the administration of the kingdom, which is the more judicial side of things, does need administrating. And so when we've received a mandate, if that mandate is to do something on earth, then it makes sense to establish it in heaven first by what we say particularly, and assign angels to that mandate to go before us, prepare the way, clear the atmosphere of the earth if there is hindrances or blockages, make sure that we can open everlasting doors to release that onto the earth. And that often is if we carry a responsibility for an area or something specific. If it's to come through our lives, then we need to see that flow from the inside out of us. So where we engage the kingdom in our own spirit and invite the presence of God to come into our own spirit through the first love gate, and then to flow out like rivers of living water through us, we obviously have to make sure that we've got our gateways open and there's a flow of life and the spirit can flow through us. We also need to become joined to Him, like being yoked to Him, which means that we're one spirit with Him. And that's, again, a process of surrender, of Him being Lord of our lives. And, you know, daily I surrender the throne of my spirit to Him, and I sit with Him. And at the beginning, you know, He's Lord, and I get to be a servant, and then a steward, and then ultimately a friend. But then once I become established in lordship myself under His kingship, then I learn to rule through the atmosphere around me. So I allow my spirit to go through soul and body to create the spiritual atmosphere around me, and I can look into that spiritual unseen realm. I can begin to administrate that unseen realm from within, because it's a flow that's coming from within me to manifest around me, hence sort of like Peter's shadow healing people, you know, being able to touch people and to see a release of the mandate we have through us. So we're connecting up with what we've received as a mandate, and it is manifesting through us, around us. And again, it's really important what we say and the attitudes we maintain to make sure that the right things get drawn around us and operating with us, and engaging with our own personal angels who are there to minister with us and to us in that practical process. And so there are definitely practical things that we establish in heaven but need to be outworked here on earth. And that might be a specific mandate to go and do something, like go and preach the gospel somewhere, go and lay hands on the sick, maybe have a healing meeting or a miracle meeting, or to engage in a particular neighborhood and begin to administrate the kingdom in a neighborhood. Very practical things. We establish them in heaven, we outwork them through us, and they flow from the inside out to engage around us. And we bring dominion. You know, we rule that, because that's what God's called us to do. But we have to get to the point where we're operating in lordship under his kingship. Now, ultimately, when you then begin to engage deeper realms of heaven and higher realms of authority, if you like, we then begin to operate in kingship under his fatherhood. And then we get to do more things. What we do in lordship is we're operating under the decrees of the king. When we operate in kingship, we begin to make decrees that come out of our destiny and the desire of God as mandated to us to begin to change things and to bring legislative things. So we begin to legislate out of our destiny and out of the desires of connecting up with God and getting a daily mandate, because I mean, I do this every day to get a daily mandate. Ultimately, when we are matured into sonship under his fatherhood, then we get to release creative stuff, you know. And there aren't too many people who are doing that stuff right now. You know, I've had a few forerunner experiences of that in terms of out in the galaxies and birthing things from my heart and out of my innermost being and things like that. And I think, you know, in the age to come, we'll get to do some pretty amazing stuff, you know. But there is stuff we need to do now as well. And some of that will be to do with bringing light back into where darkness is. And some of that is practically needs to be outworked through our life as we become salt and light in our communities. Actually, some of it is in the cosmos where the angels fell and there's darkness because those angels of light, a third of them fell. So there's some work to be done in establishing cosmologically, if you like, things back to its original purpose and intention. And we start to do some of those things once we engage at that level. So there's lots of levels of maturity in which we do different things, learn how to do things differently. Once you begin to legislate things, you know, angels get involved in those legislation things more. But the court of angels are there to operate in everything we do from our mountains. So it's just learning how to engage the protocols. You know, there's a whole different level of kingdom administration which comes through chancellors and being a chancellor. I'm sort of exploring some of that at the moment, and the laws of Zion and the court of the Council of Fathers, where the 24 elders function. Pretty interesting stuff. I've not really... You know, I've just been given authorization to go there and engage with those 12 chancellors, but that's going to take a bit of time to work it out. So there's lots of levels of where we do things in heaven, and we outwork them on earth in different ways. Sometimes we just open up realms from this, from our mountains in heaven over areas, and we begin to engage angels to deal with cultural issues. But a lot of the time we need to identify what are the things that are going on earth which authorize those things to be happening in heaven. Because the enemy has no authority other than that which we have given him. You know, with our mandate for the planet, his authority has come through us. He had none himself. So we have given it to him. We have to take it back. And so there are instances where we need to understand what it is that's given the dragons and giants and kings and things like that in the kingdom of God area in the realms of heaven, the authority to hinder our mountains and to block our outworking of kingdom authority. And that's where we see dragons and giants and different things there. We need to find out why. You know, what legal right have they got to be there? We use the court system to do that. So we can enforce those things that we see to come into the court and to reveal their legal right of access, both for us personally and the spheres that we have governmental influence over. But it's obviously, you know, I've been practicing this for a while, and there's a process of maturity that you go through. You know, you get invested on your mountain thrones with a scepter and a crown and a mantle, and you may well be given a weapon, sword, sometimes spear, sometimes bow. And then when you're invested at a higher level of authority, you're often given an orb, which symbolizes you can make laws rather than just administrate laws. So you get given things that indicate that you can do things. I was given a chancellor's seal when I went on the Firestones the last time I went there personally. And it then opened up a realm that I'd not seen before and not really engaged with that much. Now I've got to learn how to engage there. So then I can help other people to engage there in that realm. So, yeah. Okie dokie. So any other questions?
Well, it's funny you say that because you remember, I think it was like two classes. I think we went to the mountains and to the throne. I saw a mountain, and now that you were explaining to us, you brought to memory something that I saw, but I didn't know what to do with it. I was thinking, like, I'm not ready to do this because I never done nothing like that, especially with this type of mountain. But I saw the mountain, and it was the nation's mountain. And I saw a dragon, and I saw, like, an ogre.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking, okay, you show me this, but I don't know really what to do right now, because I was thinking there was a lot of responsibility for all the nations, but now that you say that, I maybe have to ask the Lord again and just ask what is the authority that these two beings have to be on the nations, right? What is the authority the dragon and the ogre have over the nations to be influencing, right? And then I can go, I guess, after I know that, I can just deal with it?
Yeah, you can deal with it, and you can libust those sorts of things. Just ask God, you know, to libust an area, a geography.
Ooh, that's good.
You know, we did a session of libuster training last night as the Alpha Group, which was about libusting geography. And so, yeah, you can ask God, okay, what are the lies or what are the things that the enemy has access to do this in this town, in this place, in this region, in this nation? It depends really on whether the things that you're seeing are things that are to do with you and why they're hindering your authority. They don't necessarily always, because it's your mountain in that area that you're looking at. It's your sphere of influence and authority that you're looking at in that what you've seen. Because there are many different levels of authority that will happen in the nations and in different nations and different things. And we operate at the authority level that we've been given. And that might have very different levels of administration that you can use. And so the ogres or the things may well be things that in your life have permitted them to block your mandate and sphere, not necessarily the whole nation's. And so, you know, it's finding out what it is. Why is there a dragon stopping you ruling on that mountain? Why is there an ogre? Why are these spiritual beings there? You know, and go to the courts and demand them to tell you. You know, if you're not getting information from God directly, sometimes He wants you to administer, to put them in their place, and show that you have authority over them. But if they have a legal right, and therefore they're not operating under the authority or being moved from those areas because you're ruling, you need to find out why. And that can be fear, it can be lots of things. You know, the way we view ourselves, insecurity, you know, it may well be a generational thing. You just need to find out, you know, and then you begin to rule. You know, because they're there usurping your authority. So generally it's more to do with you. If you go and lie bust a place or a thing, then you're really asking, what is it in this place that gives the enemy authority to hinder or block God's purposes? And that could be a nation, it could be a city, it could be an area of a city, it could be anything. But you get information that God will release to you that will give you some insight into what has been done in the land or whatever. Now, the difference between what we used to do to deal with that and spiritual mapping and all that type of thing, we would tend to try and do something here to affect it. But we must do things above it in the realm above, because that's why we do it in the realm of heaven, and then we administer it from there to deal with what's in the atmosphere. So many people have tried to clear the atmosphere from here under it. You have to clear the atmosphere from above it. And you can assign angels to go and do that once you have established authority on the mountains. So many, and you know, have tried to deal with principalities and powers and rulers and things like that, and have ended up pretty damaged because they weren't coming from the right place of authority. And we must be above them. So if you're going to deal with a dragon or an ogre or a giant, you come from above. So you must know the mandate and the authority that you have, therefore the scriptures and the truth that has been imparted to you to release that authority. Because I've seen people tackle dragons, and the dragons were huge, and they just felt completely small in comparison. But when they suddenly started speaking out the truth of who they were and what God had imparted to them, all of a sudden they seemed to be much bigger than the dragon. And those things work by intimidation and fear. You know, they had no authority to keep the children of Israel from crossing over, but it cost a whole generation their lives because they looked at the appearance rather than the truth. God said, you will surely possess this land. And they were, oh, it's full of giants, so they're too much for us. We're like grasshoppers. If you think of yourself as a grasshopper, then a giant or a dragon will appear huge. But if you see yourself as a son of God, and you know your mandate to rule, then you just chop off the head, which is to do with government, and you split open what's within them, everything they've robbed from you, and you get it back. You know, and you can trade with it, you can do whatever God shows you with it, but you get sometimes scrolls, sometimes you get resources, sometimes you get weapons, all sorts of things that you get released that have been robbed from you as a result of them usurping authority. But they only do it because they have a right to do it. And we have to identify the rights and then deal with them. But when we do, you know, it's not difficult to deal with them, to be honest. So, yeah. Okay. Anyone else got anything you want to talk about?
Oh, Okay, I was waiting. During a live bust, there was something shown from generations past that my generations kept these trophies, and it caused this revenge curse, et cetera, and all that was busted. And it was quickened in my spirit to trade those trophies to the Lord, to bring them, take them to the trading floor, you know, trade these. But I'm like, I still have no understanding. Is it something that I have to get from the, you know, enemy's lair, or is it something? I mean, I have no clear understanding where they're kept. I mean, you know, the generations were free, you know, we got this huge breakthrough. But now I'm like, so where do I get these things from? So I'm, you know, I have to seek more, but I'm wondering if you have an opinion on that.
Well, I certainly have been to where the enemy has kept them. You know, we used to sing a song years ago called "We Went to the Enemy's Camp and We Took Back What He Stole for Us from Us." And so the enemy has a trophy room. You access it through Wisdom's Heights, through one of the doors there, to go under the earth. I've been there a number of times. There's people's destinies there. There are people's mantles there that have lost them. There are generational heritage that belongs to us that has been robbed for generation, because most generations don't pass things on to the next, so that they're there. The enemy's robbed them. We need to pass things on to the next generation. So that's where I personally have been to get a restoration of things that have been robbed generationally. Again, I was given authority to go there by Wisdom, given us a sort of a staff. You know, I have taken a few people there. If it is something which is generational, that's where I've found it. If it is within dragons or giants or other things like that, then you can get them from within them when you kill them and deal with them. So they release those things which they have robbed in a practical way. But generally, those things are more to do with your own life rather than necessarily a generational issue, unless they've operated as familiar things within a generational mandate that your family has had. You know, but as I say, unfortunately, most of us aren't second, third, fourth generation things. We all have to start at scratch. So we've missed out a lot. But I would go there, or, you know, in terms of trading them, yeah, it's a good thing to do. It's essentially going to then cast them before God and exchange from the revelation of what it is, so that we get further revelation. And so we don't take those trophies for ourselves. They're for God's glory. And I think it's always really important to maintain that humility and realization that no matter how much power and authority we operate in, it's all for His glory. It's not to promote us or to elevate us or to make us feel better about ourselves. If we haven't dealt with that sort of stuff, then we're unlikely to be released into those higher levels of authority, because that God knows when we present ourselves as living sacrifices, we're surrendering those things so that He meets our needs rather than they're met from elsewhere. And the purity of heart will determine a lot what level of authority has been released to you. So, yeah, definitely you can go to that place. You need to know your authority to go there. So I would go to the Ark and I would get a mandate to go there. So let's say you've seen these trophies, you want to see those things restored, then you go and get a mandate to do it. I wouldn't tend to go to anywhere that I've not been specifically authorized to go, unless I'm taken. You know, I was taken to the Satan's Trophy Room by Wisdom. So she took me there and showed me the protocol of entry and gave me a staff to be able to engage, which was great. I wouldn't tend to go unless I felt authorized to. So get a mandate for whatever you do. Then you know you've got authorization to be able to gain access. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good, because that whole encounter ended with her standing by me And she kept pointing into the distance, and I could see farther, you know, over my mountain, so I could see farther. And then she pointed to her mountain, the heights, and it was, I could see it, and it was just didn't seem as far, you know, it was like she just pointed to it. So, I think that's my next encounter. I'm going back to
her. Yeah, that's a good place to go, definitely. Now, Wisdom's Heights is a fantastic place that gives you access through different doorways. You can get access into Mount Zion. You can get access through into the atmosphere of the Earth, into the Earth, under the Earth, into the stars. There are different doorways there, and different pathways meet there, and the timeline you can engage there. It's an amazing place. I do like going there, I must admit. Okay. All right. So, anything else you want to talk about? As about Rodney or Paul, do you want to? Is there anything you want to ask? If you want to, just unmute yourself. If you want to ask anything, or no? Okay. Okay. So, what do you want to do? You don't have to ask anything. What is it you want to do? Is there any?
I was going to ask you, because I hear you talking about the mantle room.
Yeah.
I never hear about that. Is that the same place that you just were talking about? The same place where you recover things, so it's a completely different room. You can just go and ask out for a mantle.
Completely different place, yeah. The mantle room is in the realm of heaven, one of the rooms within the mountain of God, and it contains mantles. And mantles are cloaks of authority and power to deliver certain kingdom things. Some of those mantles, from previous generations, because of sin and failures in ministry and in people's lives, have been stolen by the enemy, and so we can reclaim some of those back. But there are fresh mantles there for us. There are mantles that are similar to men and white linen of the past that you can engage in there. It's a pretty cool place. I mean, there's rows and rows and rows and rows of mantles. And you get given one of the mantles when you're invested with authority on your personal mountain, but there are other mantles there which you can have released, and you can, if you've been authorized, you can go there and you can release mantles to others as well in ministry settings. Sometimes the men in white linen turn up in places with mantles to release, because they want to pass on their mantle to others. And so, you know, we have 12 men in white linen associated with the ministry here that we engage with, and they help out quite a lot and give us insight into sometimes the mistakes they made, and so we don't make the same ones. You know, they're there around us, surrounding us. We can engage with them. But certainly the mantle room is a cool place. There's also, I think, what Mike Danforth calls the wardrobe room, where we get dressed with our authority and our identity, and that's more like, you know, like the prodigal coming back to the father and getting a ring of sonship and new robes and everything. There's a place in heaven where you can go and be robed with your identity and your redemptive gift identity, that sort of stuff, which is another cool place, which some of that does release the name. You know, you were saying you found it difficult to see the name that was on your throne above the river of fire. In Revelation, it talks about having a white stone with a new name that only he who's given it knows. You know, the name that's on my throne wasn't my personal name. It was a name that God had assigned to me, which was a name of identity that... You know, sometimes you get those things revealed when you engage in encounters and experiences around that. But yeah, it is a separate place. But you can get mantles from the other place if they've been robbed. So yeah.
Also, it would be good to go visit the place sometime. Yeah. So I need to let Winston to take me there, or can you take us there? Or I don't know.
Yeah. You can engage there.
Okay.
Some of it depends on, you know, some of the encounters and the places to go aren't really just out of curiosity. You need an authorization to go and a reason for going. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God will, when you come around his presence and you begin to look into the four faces of God and you step into that place and you start to look out from the four faces of God and you begin to look from the perspective of one of the faces of God, you get your heart drawn towards something. The desires of your heart get drawn towards particular things. And when you have that drawing to go to a particular place, then it's great. You know, it's, if you just want to go to see places because they might be cool or fun, then the end of the day, you may get some forerunner experiences of things, but what we're learning to do is really to engage in our kingdom authority and to bring rule. So if you need a mantle for your mountain or for a particular mountain, let's say the mountain you were talking about earlier, which had things, if you need a mantle to give you authority to deal with a dragon or an ogre or a giant or something, then that's a really good encounter to get, because you get the authority, you'll get revelation of the authority you have with that mantle, and then you can just release that and use it to rule, because mantles give us authority to rule. So yeah, I mean, they're all accessible once we're able to operate in those realms. And yeah, if in doubt, you can always go and ask Wisdom, can you take me to that room? And if she won't, then she won't. If she will, then she'll take you through the gateway that goes into Mount Zion, and you can go into there and engage. Because she is there to help us with judicial ruling issues, kingship, lordship, nobling, nobleship, that sort of thing. So it's all a learning curve of where we go, but you know.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got a quarter of an hour or so. So I mean, we can look to engage and step into there. Maybe we go look to go and engage with Wisdom and see where she wants to take you. You know, that would be a good place to go if you want to do that. Okay. All right. Well, again, when we sort of step into an encounter, you're really just looking to engage your spirit. And sometimes that encounter will flow through your imagination screen. You'll see something as a picture or vision, and you'll walk through it. Sometimes you'll just know where you're going, and you can engage your senses, particularly your impressions. And sometimes it may be totally visual, and you're walking into the vision. That's fine. It's best just to relax and to engage the right side of your brain, really, by just thinking about Jesus. It's a good place to start in meditating, is just begin to think about him in his role as your high priest in the realms of heaven. So I would encourage you just to begin to think about an open heaven. Think about the steps of the ladder that's going up into the realms of heaven. Just by faith, just step in through the open door and just meet with Jesus, who's standing in the doorway, ready to be our high priest and to bring us through the veils that he's opened So I'd encourage you just to surrender your heart to him as a living sacrifice to him, and ask him to prepare you to engage with him today. Just sense his pleasure and his desire that you stepped into his realm. Just feel the atmosphere of heaven, the freedom of it, the fragrance, the sounds. Just allow your senses to begin to attune to the realm of heaven and to begin to engage. Now just let Jesus take you by the hand and take you through the veil of the way and through the veil of the truth and the life. As you step through those veils, you come before his presence at the ark and begin to think about his name and step into his name. The lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Just open up your heart to receive a mandate from him and just think of the letters of his name, the Yod, He, Vav, He, and look into the revelation of his person. And just sense his presence there. Just start to resonate with the frequency of his name and the revelation that it contains. And open up your heart and step into his presence. Just feel the impartation of who he is. You may feel drawn to one of the faces of God to begin to look out from the perspective of the lion, the kingly function, or the ox, the prophetic function, eagle, the apostolic function, or the man, the priestly function. The light of the revelation of his presence, you just start to absorb and come into alignment and agreement with. Just allow your heart's desires to receive a mandate for today and for this encounter and where he would have you go. Just let your desire of your heart be transformed as you're drawn near to him, as he imparts that to you, your authorization for today. Now let's allow Jesus to now take you by the hand. He's going to take you through a doorway to engage with wisdom on wisdom's heights. Just let him take you. As he brings you before wisdom, and just stand on the heights, just feel wisdom's presence, let him introduce you to wisdom. place where wisdom's pillars, where the paths meet, where there are doorways. I just encourage you to look into wisdom's eyes and look into the depth of desire that she has for you, for your place of rulership, of authority. Just allow her to impart to you just open up all of your life to her embrace. Feel the beating of her heart as she represents the Father in tutoring you and training you in wisdom and understanding, in counsel, in prudence. There may be other angels and angelic beings around that you may feel drawn to engage with. Now just share the desires of your heart, that which may have been imparted to you as a mandate, with her. The desires that your spirit releases for where you want to go, what you want to engage in, whether it is the mantle room, whether it's into Mount Zion and the throne of God, whether through one of the doorways that would engage you. Just open your heart and just allow wisdom to take you now to follow the desires of your heart. You may want to go through one of the doorways. You may want to go through the gateway into Mount Zion, but just allow her to be your guide and we're just going to give some time just to explore where she would have you go. Thank you. Just allow wisdom to bring you back through the door, bringing with you an impartation of the revelation in your spirit, that which you've seen, felt, experienced. Now, wisdom would just take you to before the throne of God, to cast your crowns before Him, to bow before Him, to trade, and all that you've received to bring glory to Him. Just sense the four living creatures, sense the spirit, seven spirits of God, sense God's authority and majesty, Father, Son, and Spirit in oneness, ruling. Sense the awesomeness of being before His throne. You can stand before Him as He reveals Himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King, with His kingly scepter, His authority. As you stand before Him now, as He releases authority to you, imparts authority to you. And He reveals a deeper nature to the Lion, and the freedom to stand before Him in the realms of heaven, expanding your perception, your understanding. Feel the vastness, the freedom, the liberty of being before the King as He looks longingly at you, the desires that He has to bring you into a place of security, peace, and rest. That you rule from rest. You administer the kingdom from rest. So allow His peace, the peace which goes beyond all human understanding, just to come over you, to envelop you, as you just feel that you can, as a child before Him, lie down on Him as the Lion in its total security, total peace, intimacy, rest, wholeness. Just allow all your senses to receive that impartation of rest and peace. It's your mandate to rule. All those who are weary and heavy laden, come to Me and find rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart. Learn to be at that place, that seat of rest. Now just begin to step back through the veils, carrying with you that which you've received, so that it can flow out of you, bringing revelation to you. As we just step back into this place, this realm, ooh. Well, I had a pretty good encounter there anyway, so I don't know where it happened with you, but it was, I had a good time. Went to a place I've not been before, which is cool. Got given a new mantle and a ring, and a sealed ring, so that was pretty cool. So, okay. So if you want to share anything, feel free. If you feel, no, I just want to ponder those things in my own heart, then that's fine. If you've got any questions around that, feel free. We've got a few minutes, but, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. I went to the, she took me to the mantle room, she did. And then in the end, when we were with the lion, you say that we need to learn to rule from rest. He was telling me exactly the same thing before I entered into the class today, so that was a confirmation. You know, like he was bringing to memory, maybe like a year and a half ago, my husband got me a hammock, and I was just resting in the back, and I started having these visions, and it was like out of breath, just to enter into the place of rulership. So, yeah, really good.
Good, okay.
Yeah, I went to a room with a lot of oils, just a bunch of different oils. And the fragrances, I mean, it was just manifesting here, just a whole bunch of different fragrances. You could just smell them, too. It was amazing. So I need more on it, but I've never seen that one before.
I've not been in there before, no. I've certainly had manifestations of oils. And I know some things with oils are to do with frequencies that bring a realignment. And I've had lots of oils when I've been on the soaking room and allowed the oils of God and the fragrances and frequencies of God to begin to prepare me. But I've certainly not been in an oil room like that. And whether it's an anointing room or an oil room, great, awesome. I'll put that one on my list of places to visit. Sounds good. Okay.
Also, what happened is like in the mantle room, it was a connection to the room to like a library, and she took me to this library, and then she gave me a big book. So I was kind of chewing on it. Eat it. I want to eat it, so I started chewing and I started eating it. And when that mantle was placed on it, I did smell a peculiar aroma. It manifests even in the room. I never smelled that aroma before, but it came with in a fragrance, that mantle.
Okay, good.
So that was really neat. Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. that's great. Very good. Okay.